Definitely digital media, social media, you know, online media, you know, even just things as simple as email and Gmail and Google Documents and Dropbox and all those things. They certainly have changed the business and changed how I do business. I mean, I do a lot of online research, and one of the things I find, not that rarely, are what are essentially either amateur or promotional kind of news sites, and not so much that they're fake news sites, it's just everything they have, they've aggregated from someplace else. They have done no original reporting, but because they're good at picking one fact from column A and another fact from column B and an analysis or a quote from column C, you know, they're able to put out some pretty credible reports. But I have to think the people who do that are missing some of the context. Maybe they have it, but I'm sometimes amazed at how bad those sort of sites are.
Ed, do you think young reporters or the next sort of rollout of journalism has lost the art of just walking into the coffee shop and talking to people, or hanging out, you know, on the third floor of the Capitol and just visiting with folks, or maybe hanging out in the, you know, in the P bar in Sitka and just kind of chatting to gain sort of a different kind of context? Have we lost that when information became so easy to obtain online?
Well, I'd say you still need to walk into the P bar, if nothing else, because you can get a beer. Yeah, I think that is an issue, and I've certainly worked with young reporters, and I've worked with a lot of young reporters, you know, over the years, even when I was a young reporter. I just always ended up doing training. And yeah, I've seen people less willing to do that, or just it not being first nature. At the same time, what people in the industry like to call digital natives, and that term's been around for a while, often are better at finding information online and finding contacts online. I mean, 20 years ago, who would have thought to go to a site like Facebook or LinkedIn to find sources or contacts, or even going on whatever social media you use, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, and asking people if they have thoughts or comments or reactions to an issue? That can give you a wider spread. But I still think nothing really works as well as getting out of the office, getting off the computer, and talking to people.
Ed, does having a lot of background and a lot of experience doing news in Southeast Alaska, has it made your job easier, or has it kind of hardened your arteries when it comes to stories like the possible end of the fast ferries? Do you just kind of roll your eyes and sigh and lean into your keyboard, or do you use institutional knowledge to kind of give you a jump start to put out, you know, what feels like fresh journalism to you?
Both. I mean, of course, having institutional knowledge, having the memory, having the records and the research and the files and the archives, with that information and knowing where to get it if I don't have it, that makes it easier. And I think this isn't just me, this is all journalists. It makes our stories better and have more context and, you know, give people a little history. But it also makes it harder because you know all the little twists and turns along the way that often, frankly, might be interesting to me or another reporter, but probably not so much to a member of the public who's listening to the radio or online and, you know, has only a couple minutes to pay attention to this, and then it's off to work or change the baby or mow the lawn or whatever they have to do.
Ed, does anybody ever cross to the other side of the street when they see you coming?
Yes. Although sometimes it's the other side of the room. And usually people who do that, I make a point of talking to in an informal situation and letting them know they don't have to be scared of me because, you know, unless if you're a public official, and some of them are, I don't really have much leverage other than my good looks and good manners, neither of which I actually have, to get people to talk to me.
Okay, well, we have this interview on the record, by the way, so keep that in mind. Ed, I just wanted to circle back just a second to you said that journalists who are sort of coming online now, one advantage they have is being digital native. And I have to say that I think that you have always been in the forefront of digital progress. I mean, you always supported KCAW's transition to fully transcribed news online, and you have a way of tracking down things that absolutely baffle me. We all sit around waiting for the capital budget to be passed every spring in Juneau, for instance, and I can never find the darn thing, and I always sit there and wait for your email to arrive where you've provided, you know, the lengthy link to the Office of Management and Budget. So, you know, I'd give yourself credit for having, you know, the expertise in sort of the digital environment that has grown up around us. I think you're really there. But I always do wonder how you manage to do your job without really knowing how to type. That's just crazy to me.
Well, I know how to type. I just do it differently. And if my memory's right, my father was the same way. My mother was a 10-finger typist. And my father was a factory worker, but he also ran and wrote the union paper, newspaper, at Local 45 UAW Fisher Body Auto Plant. But, you know, if your question was about kind of keeping track of digital media and website stuff and all that, you know, they're tools. I mean, your recorder is a tool. So when folks started creating websites and social media and figuring out the best way to do it, it's okay, here's another tool. You know, it's nothing to be scared about.
Ed, it's been a pleasure to talk with you. I will say that the KCAW newsroom is going to miss you quite a bit because your nickname around here is Money in the Bank, because every day we have a daily newscast, and often we do generate a local story, but it's time-consuming, you know, as you know, to get it right, and we have to fill out our newscast, and having your basically endless supply of regional news has been literally like just going to the bank and saying, yeah, I'd like that story on transboundary mining. I'd like that story on legislative politics or on the ferries or whatever regional issue is out there. And until somebody drops into your enormous shoes, I'm just not quite sure what we're going to do around here. So don't get an unlisted number, if you know what I mean.
Thank you. You will do fine. And I'm sure the next person who has this job, and hopefully they'll be in it pretty soon, but I don't know who that is or when that'll be, will produce more than I do, because having this job for almost 15 years means I've kind of developed a whole lot of things that don't involve actually doing stories. And also, as you get older, you slow down. You know, my hands shake a little bit. My eyes don't work as well as they used to. I've got hearing aids. And, you know, that gets in the way. So I'm hoping somebody will come in and actually do a whole lot more stories. When I started, I did more stories, but I've been involved more in management and training and editing and all sorts of other stuff that doesn't turn into what's on the radio.
Well, you still have 8 more fingers you could type with, so I'm not too worried about that.
If I lose one or two, I can use the others. And thank you, Rob, and the KCAW newsroom. I've always loved filling in at Raven Radio, and you folks are productive and smart and exciting, and it's been fun being part of hiring committees and working with the new reporters and doing some training and support and just talking to them and enjoying their perspectives. And Raven Radio has been, I think, at the forefront of a lot of new developments in public radio news in Alaska. But I have to say, folks like you are saying I'm not replaceable, but I am. Really, I'm not that important.
I do beg to differ, but we don't have any more time to debate that. So
okay.
It's going to be weird not having you around, but I think everybody feels that, you know, when the time is right and retirement looks really attractive, you should just go for it and make the most of it as you've done with everything else in your life. Have fun out there.
Thank you very much. You too. And I will dig you up when I go to Sitka, and I'm not sure who owes who a beer, but we can figure that out.